reports that say there's that something hasn't happened are always interesting to me.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. Please, no flash photography throughout our program.
The known unknowns. That is to say, we know there's some things we do not know.
Live from the underworld.
Ooh, hello everybody. It's the Known Unknowns. We are a podcast about all things strange, Freudian, unknown, unsolved, and just plain weird. My name is Peter. I'm joined in the underworld by Steven.
Hello.
And he is about to tell me about a thing about which I know maybe nothing.
Through me, you enter into the city of woes. Through me, you enter into eternal pain. Through me, you enter the population of loss. Abandon all hope, ye who enter here.
Peter, do you recognize that quote?
Only the last part.
That is from Dante's Divine Comedy, The Inferno.
Ah, The Inferno.
Because
excellent.
Our topic today is hell.
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 Satan.
The concept of hell and other places of punishment, suffering, purgation can be found in many religious and mythological traditions around the world.
That is true.
The reasons and functions for this existence can vary based upon theological, cultural, historical, sociological, all the illogical sort of stuff around.
All of the ologicals.
Yep. Peter, but it's important to remember that not all religions or cultures believe in hell. And true. Among those that do, interpretations can vary significantly, even within the same religion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In today's episode, Peter, listeners, we are going to talk about the various types and forms of hell in different religions.
Excellent.
But before we begin, listeners and Peter, I want to stress that I'm not a theologian. I'm not a historian. I'm barely literate. I'm sure that I've gotten some facts wrong in this outline, but don't take it as an insult to your religion if I did. Just write to us, tell us how we got it wrong and how we're stupid.
At best, this is going to be a very wide overview.
Yeah. We're gonna talk about this for an hour.
At worst, it's gonna be flat wrong.
So Peter, should we start with the big one? Christianity.
The big one.
That's the one you know the most about.
That's the one that I know the most about.
What do you know about hell?
Do you want me to start controversial or not?
Oh, you do you, Peter.
Okay.
You do you.
Well, the generally accepted version of hell is one in which it's a burning lake of fire. Mm-hmm.
That's only one of them. It's only literally like one.
Oh, yeah. There's so many versions. There's so many of them. But the burning lake of fire is the big one that people talk about.
Peter, the Bible does contain various references and descriptions of a place called hell.
According to some people.
Yep. The concept has evolved over time in the biblical text, and there are different terms that are used in the Bible that have been translated into English as hell.
Correct.
But that's one of the points that I'm going to stick to here, Peter, is that the Bible has been translated many times.
Many times. To get to English.
Many languages. It's before it even got to English. So the Bible in other languages uses other words for hell. And I think some of those are what I want to talk about for a little bit.
The original languages, which were then translated into Greek, which were then translated into Latin, which were then translated into numerous other languages.
Right. Peter, do you know what some of the other names for hell that was used in the Bible?
Gehenna is one.
Gehenna. Yes, Peter. That's mentioned in the New Testament.
Yes. Do you know what Gehenna is?
Yes, Peter. It's derived from the Hebrew Ge-Haman, or the Valley of the Son of Haman.
Yes.
Which was a location near Jerusalem where,
exactly,
according to the Old Testament accounts, Israelites engaged in idolatrous practices, including baby sacrifices.
Yes. Yes. Do you know what else happened there?
Oh, what else happened there, Peter?
It was just a place where they threw all their trash and burned it.
We already talked about baby sacrifices.
That was a place where it was a giant trash heap, mm-hmm. and they would burn their trash, but they would keep throwing more trash on, so it had been on fire for hundreds of years.
Wow, that's literally hell.
That's where the idea comes from.
Oh, Peter, you got that one.
I shouldn't say that's where the idea comes from, but that's where an interpretation of it comes from.
You got one right away. Can you name another name for hell that was used in the Bible?
Hades.
Hades, which is, of course, from Greek tradition.
Exactly.
The term appears in Jesus' parable of the rich man and Lazarus, mm-hmm. where the rich man is in torment in Hades while Lazarus is comforted in Abraham's bosom.
You said bosom.
We'll get back to Hades a little later in the episode.
Yes.
We'll stick into the Bible now, Peter. What else you got?
Yes, yes. It's another G one. Gort, maybe?
I don't have it on my list, Peter.
What else you got?
What else I do have on my list is Sheol.
Yes, Sheol. That's another Hebrew word.
It's found in the Old Testament with most of the Hebrew stuff.
Grave?
Yes, Peter, or a place of the dead for both wicked and righteous. It's depicted as a shadowy, quiet realm where souls reside after death, but is not particularly a place of punishment.
Correct.
This is from Psalms 9:1. The wicked go down to the realm of the dead, all the nations that forgot God.
Mm.
I'm not a huge Bible fan. We've talked about that before, but
yeah,
the Bible got some really lit quotes.
It's got some very heavy metal.
So Peter, you have Sheol, Hades, Gehenna. How about Tartarus?
Mm.
This was mentioned once in the Bible in
not tartar sauce
in Peter Tartarus. 2. Peter 2.
Yeah, that's another Greek one.
Yep. For God did not spare even the angels who sinned. He threw them into Tartarus in gloomy pits of darkness where they are being held until the day of judgment. What do you think of those, Peter?
I think that Bible's pretty metal.
Bible's pretty metal. We haven't pretty even metal. Got to the lake of fire here, Peter.
No. No, we have not.
So this is from Thessalonians, which I believe is a New Testament book.
Correct.
They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Ooh, but Peter, found in the book of Revelation, is described as
the most heavy metal book of them all.
The second death and the final destination of Satan the beast, the false prophet, death, Hades, and anyone not found written in the book of life. The lake of fire represents eternal separation from God and eternal punishment. This is one of my, I like this quote here, Peter. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestables, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, for the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death.
I think I fit just about every one of those.
Yeah, like click, click,
every
click,
one
click,
of those
click,
descriptors
click.
There. Check, check, check.
Peter, what do you think? What do you think about hell in the Bible?
I think that the way that it has always been described to me is a place that I do not want to
go to.
So I also know that there are a lot of people who would say that that's not that the way that it is commonly described is not the way that it actually says that it is anywhere in the Bible.
Do you want to know what really has shaped people's perception of the Bible? We mentioned it right up top.
Medieval literature.
Medieval literature.
Yeah.
Possibly nothing more so than Dante's Inferno, which is the first part of Dante Alighieri's 14th century epic poem, The Divine Comedy. Inferno is the first one. Can you name, do you know the other two, Peter?
No, I wish I could, but Purgatorio, I'm not that learned.
And Paradiso.
Okay, okay.
But in Inferno, Dante, who was a famous celebrity writer of the time, is guided through the nine circles of hell by the Roman poet Virgil. The journey begins on Good Friday and ended on the day of resurrection. Peter, do you know what the structure of hell is in Dante's Inferno?
Well, I believe that it's nine circles.
Yep.
And the punishment gets worse as you get closer to the center.
It's very conical as it starts big at the top and then gets smaller and smaller and smaller as it reaches the worst of the crimes.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but each level correlates to a deadly sin.
Indeed, we're going to cover each of those right here, Peter.
Excellent.
The first circle is...
Should we stop and say which one is our favorite when we get there?
Yeah, we'll do that, Peter. So, Peter, the first circle is Limbo. Now, the sinners that are in this circle are virtuous non-Christians and unbaptized pagans who did not sin but did not know God. Do you want to know what their punishment is, Peter?
Is it to sit quietly on a bus seat waiting for a bus that's never going to come?
I like that one. That'd be like the modern version of this, Peter.
Yeah.
They actually get to live in a castle that has seven gates that represent the seven virtues. But Peter, they are not tormented, but live without hope of rescue.
So they just live in a castle.
Yep.
No, that, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I live in an apartment. I think I...
All right, Peter. Now
doesn't sound that bad to me.
Yeah, we're on to the actual crime. Not crimes, but sins now.
Sins.
You want to know? Do you know what the first sin is, Peter?
Sloth?
No, it's lust. In the second circle. You are assigned here if you succumb to lust.
Oh, boy.
And your punishment here, Peter, on this circle, is you are blown around by a violent storm without rest ever, representing the power of your desire. Just whoosh, 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 whoosh. You're getting blown eternally, Peter. Yep.
Oh, I see what you did there. Oh, okay.
On the third circle, Peter, is gluttony, which you get if you are a glutton.
Excellent.
Peter, gluttons live in a vile slush produced by ceaseless foul rain, representing the cold and empty sensuality of their lives.
So that's depressing.
That's gross. You live in muck your entire existence.
Yeah, just literally live like a cow.
Fourth circle is for the greedy. This for the sinners who hoarded possessions and those who squandered their possessions.
Excellent.
Peter, in this circle, you are divided into two groups. Each push heavy weights against the other in a futile exercise, representing the fruitless actions in your life. You never make any forward progress, and you never go back.
You just push.
You just push and push and push and push. Forever. Ooh.
Sounds like capitalism.
moving on. The fifth circle is wrath. Peter, the sinners are, of course, the wrathful and the sullen. So if you're a little sullen, you're just straight to hell. Straight to hell. Well,
luckily, I have never pouted once in my life.
Peter, the wrathful fight each other on the surface of the river Styx, while the sullen gurgle beneath the water, unable to touch the world. So if you're just a little sullen, you get to
into the water with you. Drown.
Yep.
Oh, you were a Krabby Pants? All right. Drowning forever.
Now we're getting to kind of away from the deadly sins, Peter, to heresy is in the sixth circle.
Oh,
if you're a heretic, you go to the sixth circle. And Peter, you are then trapped in a flaming tomb, representing the destructive power of your false beliefs.
Yes, so, that sounds unpleasant.
Someday, Peter, we're going to talk about all the different crazy sects of Christianity. We'll talk about the Cathars and, the iconoclasts, all the stuff that's insane in history.
All the real fun stuff. Yeah.
But that's where all these nerds would go to, Peter, these heretics.
Yes, unless
Protestants
they were right
probably here, yep.
The whole time.
It could be
too. You never know.
The seventh circle is violence. And this one is divided into three rings within this one circle.
We got sub-rings.
Yep. And the outer ring are for those who were violent against property. You are then submerged.
Vandals.
Yep. You are submerged in a river of boiling blood.
Ow. Unpleasant.
Yeah, Peter. The middle ring is for those who are violent against themselves.
Okay.
Suicides.
Yes.
Peter, you're turned into a thorny tree and a thorny bush, which are then eaten by harpies constantly.
Also sucks.
Yep, yep. And the inner ring, of course, for those violent against God, nature, and art.
And art.
You wander the desert of flaming sand with fiery flakes raining down from above you. So all the like ExxonMobil
fields.
Those
are all bad.
Yeah, those Exxon, those, you know, oil fields are all going to go right into here.
They're just walking across a flaming desert for eternity.
Oh, man.
I'm okay with that.
Peter, we're getting close to the end here. We're on the eighth circle of hell,
uh-huh,
which is fraud. Fraud.
Ah, God. I understand. I thought you were just speaking German.
So it's called Malbolge, which is another bad name. Well, badass name, Peter.
Yes.
That's the dude from Spawn, too, isn't it?
I've never played it.
But either way, it's divided into 10 ditches for various types of fraud, such as panderers, seducers, flatterers, sorcerers, corrupt politicians. Yeah, apparently.
They're putting flatterers
in the eighth circle of hell.
Sorcerers?
Yep.
You also
have hypocrites, thieves, fraudulent advisors, sowers of discord, and falsifiers. And each one has a specific punishment that reflects the nature of the sin.
Okay.
So, it's a lot.
Yeah.
All right, Peter, we get to the big one. Do you know who's in the ninth circle of hell?
Murder.
No.
Should be. It probably should be.
The ninth circle of hell is for traitors, Peter.
Oh.
It's divided into four zones. Kayana, which are traitors to their kin.
Okay.
Peter, you are frozen in ice up to your face.
Ow. Yep. Unpleasant. But maybe you go numb eventually.
Antenora. These are traitors to your country or your party. You're entirely frozen in ice.
Oh. Yep. Just all the way. Yep. Again, maybe you go numb.
Maybe. Potomia are traitors to your guests. So, like, the phrase or things like that. Like, the Boltons.
Yeah. Yes.
Peter, you lie. You have to lie on top of the ice, which covers everything but your eyes.
Mm.
Nope.
Sounds unpleasant.
And the last one, Peter, are Judeca, which are traitors to their lords and benefactors. They are entirely encapsulated in ice at the very center of hell. Satan himself is found. He is depicted as a giant, grotesque figure with three faces, chewing on the three greatest traitors of all time. Do you know who the three greatest traitors of all time were, Peter?
Well, Judas has to be one of
them. Judas Iscariot is one, yep.
Judas, Cain.
No.
No, not Cain.
No, not Cain.
He's kind of a big traitor. He killed one of three humans alive.
It was not Cain. I don't think you're going to get these, Peter.
Probably not. I feel like you'd have to know some medieval history.
Well, close. You need to know Roman history, Peter. Specifically, Roman Republic history.
The guy who stabbed Caesar.
Brutus and Cassius. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Seems like there's been worse traitors
since the 14th century. I think you could bump Cassius from that list and, you know, be fine.
Yeah. I feel like Judas is probably safe.
Yep. Yep.
Brutus, eh.
Dude, he was like Caesar's BFF. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it happens.
Oh, well, Peter, that's the Catholic version of hell. Both, yes. You know, fictionalized and real. What do you think? What do you think of that?
I have always found it kind of funny.
I'm sure.
That's where art, like the Christian version of hell came from. It's from a book, a fictional book, a poem.
Through the whole thing, Dante is like just mocking people that live in his time. Like, oh, you're gonna be in hell.
Yeah.
So he put him in the hell. It's like literally a political commentary.
Yes. And then somehow it just became canonized as actual facts that if you try to argue against them, they're like, well, now you're going to end up in hell.
Peter, yeah. We're going to stick with the...
It's comical to me.
In the same family of religions for a little bit with Judaism next.
Okay.
In Judaism, there isn't a concrete doctrine about hell, Peter. However... There exists a mystical narrative surrounding Gehinnomon, as you mentioned before, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, Gehinnomon, I'm gonna never pronounce that correctly, or the same way twice. It was a type of purgatory. Here, individuals reflect on and recognize their life's failings and misdeeds, particularly in Kabbalistic teachings. Do you know what the Kabbalah is, Peter?
This is about to get super racist.
No, it's not going to get super racist, Peter. No, no. Okay.
Usually when I hear cabal and Jewish people together.
The cabal is a type of Jewish mysticism. It would be a good summation of its belief, Peter. A lot of magic stuff around Judaism, which we'll come back and circle someday too.
Mm-hmm.
But Kabbalistic teachings describe Gehinnomon as a sort of anteroom for all souls, irrespective of your righteousness. And most rabbis say that you don't stay there forever, Peter. Typically, a soul will stay there for a maximum of 12 months, depending on your the way you live your life.
Yep. Yeah.
Although there are some exceptions in Judaism.
I imagine that there are several German folks who are going to be there significantly longer.
Yeah, Peter. Really, hell doesn't exist in Judaism. It's more akin to an intense sensation of guilt and shame. So, you know.
Sounds very Catholic of them.
It all fits right together there.
Yeah.
But that's Judaism. Again, I'm not Jewish. I don't think I really know anyone who is. But... should we move on to Islam, Peter?
Yes, let's.
Now, Islamic teachings say that Jahannamon, which is a term bearing similarities to the Hebrew word Jahimon, or the same place we've been talking about this whole time.
Right.
They say it's the antithesis to heaven. It's conceived as having seven distinct layers that exist alongside the mortal realm. Jahannamon is depicted as a realm filled with intense fire, scalding water, and other forms of torment, destined for those who have strayed from the path of righteousness in life.
Okay.
They attribute specific characteristics to Jahannam's fire, describing it as being pitch black, 70 times hotter, and more painful than any earthly fire.
Ooh, earthly fire is very painful and hot.
Number there, yep. But this is pretty cool, Peter. Across Jahannam is a perilous bridge named Az-Sirat that stretches the entire expanse. On the Day of Judgment, Peter, souls are allowed to travel this bridge to try to reach paradise. But Peter, if you are not a good your soul's not good, you will falter, find the bridge too narrow, and then fall off into the depths below.
So you got to work on your balancing.
Yep.
That's
the end of our Abrahamic religions, Peter.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
It's interesting. I mean, it makes sense that they're similar ideas. Yep. It's interesting, though, to me, that Islam and Christianity seem to be closer than Judaism.
Remember, Judaism is much older than either of the other two.
It is.
It's like a serial killer, Peter. How they start, you know, ramping up what they do. They attack someone. Yep. It's just you dial it up. Which each step you just get a little more intense.
Gotcha. So at the risk of alienating our listeners,
yep.
The Judaism is the theft and vandalism of the serial killer chain.
Yep.
And then Christianity, they ramp it up into the assault and some murdering.
Yep.
And then
We'll just stop here, Peter.
Islam came about around the same time as Christianity, so we'll just put them in the same category.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's correct, Peter.
I'm going to say it is.
Several, like centuries later. But again, we don't mean no What's offense time? To anyone, what even is time? Anyone here. Well, Peter, should we go to Greek mythology next?
I love
What Greek do you know about mythology. Hell in Greek mythology, Peter?
Well, I know that there's Hades.
Yes, Peter. We'll start with Hades.
Yeah. As we mentioned, is also mentioned in the Bible. Indeed. However, Hades, I believe, is just kind of a holding place. Like, it's just where when you die, you go to Hades, no matter what. Just everybody goes there.
Peter, you got it. So Hades, in both name and concept, occupies a central role in the Greek mythology. There are two things named Hades, Peter. There's a place named Hades.
And then
the god Hades, god of the dead, and who rules over Hades. I wonder which came first, Peter. Was Hades named Hades because he was going to get the realm, or did they name the realm after the god?
That's a good question. I think Hades came first.
Well, I don't know, Peter. Hades is...
Do you like what I did there?
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. I went over my head for a half second, Peter. But Hades is often depicted as stern and unyielding, ruling over his domain with a firm hand alongside his wife.
Persephone.
Bingo. Who he famously abducted and assaulted.
Yes.
Repeatedly every year.
Yeah. And then she nearly escaped.
Yep.
But then he got her back.
Peter, what do you know about the god Hades?
I know that he gets the short end of the stick a lot of the time. Yeah.
Peter, he was one of the three sons of the Titans, Kronos, and Rhea. And after they got rid of their parents, they drew lots with his brothers, Zeus and Poseidon, to decide who would rule over the three different parts of the universe.
Yes.
Oh, man. Zeus got the sky, Peter.
Lucky
Poseidon
duck.
Got the sea, and
also
Hades
lucky.
Then was relegated to dominion over the underworld.
Less lucky.
Peter, people didn't really worship Hades. They just kind of just tried to appease him. They didn't worship him like they worshiped like Apollo or Zeus or Poseidon.
They were just like, try to keep him happy so that when we die, he doesn't get too angry.
You know, in a lot of fictional work, they say Hades is evil. Like you've got
He is not.
But he's not.
Other than the kidnapping of his wife.
Love makes you do crazy stuff, Peter.
Ah, yes. That's what many people have said in history.
He is stern, but also notably fair, ensuring that the souls in his domain are judged appropriately based on their earthly deeds. Now the realm of Hades, we're gonna finally get to, Peter. Is a vast and varied landscape. And when you die, Peter, you journey to the banks of the river Styx, where
Great
you
band.
Must pay the ferryman.
Yes.
By the name. It's like on the tip of your tongue there, Peter.
It's Tartarus?
Charon. Yep. And those who could not afford the fee were said to wander its shore for 100 years. I don't know what happens after 100 years. Maybe you just find your way back out.
Or maybe you just learn to swim.
Yeah. Beyond the river Styx lay the fields of Asphodel, which is a neutral place where souls who were neither good nor bad would spend eternity. in this just relaxing a big old field.
Yep.
For the righteous and heroic, you know what awaited them in Hades, Peter?
I don't.
It's the Elysian Fields.
Yes.
A paradisical realm of eternal happiness. But for the wicked, the punishments of Tartarus beckoned. Peter, what do you know about Tartarus?
Honestly, not very much.
Well, while Hades is the comprehensive underworld of the Greek mythology, Peter, Tartarus is its darkest depths. Far beneath even Hades, Tartarus is described as a deep abyssal dungeon or a vast pit, encapsulating the essence of torment and suffering. Peter, here the worst prisoners of the damned and foes of the Olympian gods were kept. Peter, do you know who might be the most notable foes of the Olympian gods?
The Titans.
Indeed, Peter. The Titans, the parents of the first gods, were overthrown by Zeus and the Olympians. And then they were then cast into the depths of Tartarus, bound in unbreakable chains. It's said to be so far beneath the earth that an anvil dropped from heaven would fall for 9 days and nights before reaching its depth.
That's a long time.
I'm sure someone who's a math nerd could, like,
Tell us
how long that is.
I guess you probably also have to know where heaven begins.
I guess you're right, Peter.
But we can get a range at least with some math.
Peter, Tartarus is often brought up by Plato in his dialogues.
Yes.
And he talks about how Tartarus is a place where souls are judged. And, you know, if you're particularly lacking our scent for punishment. According to Plato, the punishment for these souls were neither arbitrary nor eternal. You could serve your time based on the severity of your sins and would be released back into Hades.
Okay.
Peter, there's another Greek tale relating to Tartarus, that of Tantalus. Do you know this tale?
Yes, I do know this tale. Tantalus was a gentleman who pissed off the wrong gods.
Yep.
And then he was cursed. Yep. Yeah, well, as happens in most Greek tales, he was cursed to sit in a pool of water.
Yep.
And there was, I believe, grapes dangling above his head.
A fruit tree.
And they were always out of reach. Every time he rose to eat, the grapes or the fruit would rise to stay just out of reach. And every time he went to drink the water from the pool that he was in, the water level would dip.
Bingo. Leaving him in perpetual hunger and thirst.
Yes.
So don't piss off the Greek gods, or they'll turn you into a spider.
They're very creative.
Yep. Well, Peter, that's the Greek hell. What do you think of that compared to the Abrahamic religions?
I like it not being eternal. So if I had to choose between one or the other to go to, I'd probably take that one.
All right, Peter. Next, we're going to talk about Mictlan. Have you heard of this one before, Peter?
This is Viking.
No, Mictlan is the Aztec version of hell.
Oh, it just sounded like a Viking word.
Mictlan represents the underworld, a realm reserved for the souls of those who passed away. But unlike many religious beliefs where the afterlife is determined by your deeds, in Aztec culture, the destination of your afterlife is based on the manner of your death.
Okay.
But so, Peter, Mictlan was where most souls would end up, irrespective of your life's morality. Peter, the journey through Mictlan was neither quick nor easy. You would have to travel through 9 challenging levels over a span of 4 years. And each level presented its own trials and tribulations designed to test your spirit before you reached your final resting place.
Okay.
Peter, but friends and families of the dead could offer rituals and sacrifices to Mictlantecuhtli and Mictlantecuhtli, the Lord and Lady of the Underworld to ensure your survival, your soul survival.
Okay.
Yeah, so Mictlan was depicted as a dark and desolate place, Peter, as many of these places are.
Mm-hmm. Few of them have been pleasant.
But, Peter, it was, again, not an eternal punishment place, Peter. Once your soul navigated the challenges and reached the deepest level, you found tranquility and rest, free from the sufferings of your journey.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, you there'd be Mictlan. If you died in battle, you went straight to the good place, Peter.
Right.
Which also, interestingly, included dying in childbirth. If you died in childbirth,
yes,
immediately you would go to the good place.
Well, that's good. That's
so beyond Mictlan. So that's the Aztec belief, Peter.
Okay.
Compared to the Greeks.
Yeah, again, I like it. Mm-hmm. I kind of like it. It's a fun idea. Just gotta go, you know, go do some trials, do some.
You have to earn it.
You gotta earn it. You gotta work for
your pay. It kind of feels like the Hunger Games, though, Peter, where like kinda, someone who's not in the Hunger Games can buy stuff to help you through the.
Right. Someone can sponsor you.
Yep. But now we're gonna go across the Atlantic, Peter, to Egypt, to the Egyptian afterlife.
Okay. Are
you familiar with the Egyptian belief, Peter?
No, not really.
Well, in Egypt, Peter, we have Amit, also known as Amut, or the Devourer of the Dead.
Excellent.
Now, Amut is a deity and creature from ancient Egyptian mythology. She wasn't a goddess, again, that people worshipped. In fact, they were scared the living shit out of by her, Peter. She was a creature of destruction.
Devourer of the Dead is the kind of name that will make you scared. Scare yourself.
Amit had a unique and fearsome appearance. She had the head of a crocodile,
terrifying,
the forequarters of a lion,
terrifying,
and the hindquarters of a hippopotamus.
Continues to be terrifying.
The three most dangerous animals known to ancient Egyptians.
Yeah.
Peter, do you know what happened to an Egyptian after death, Peter?
Well, I know that some of them were mummified.
Well, yes, but we're not going to talk about that at the moment, Peter. We're going to talk about what happened to your souls. In an ancient Egyptian belief system, after death, your heart, your actual, you know, heart, would be weighed against the feather of Maat, who was the goddess of truth, justice, and order. This occurred in the Hall of Two Truths and was overseen by the god Anubis. Now, Peter, if your heart was found to be lighter than the feather, it meant you had lived a righteous life and would be granted eternal life in the field of reeds.
Okay.
Oh, but Peter, if your heart was heavier than the feather,
I hope it's a heavy feather,
deemed impure due to your sins. And then Amit would devour the heart and you, causing a second permanent death and denied an afterlife.
So it just
now,
no mas.
Yep, you're just
You're just done.
Indeed.
Okay. Ooh,
I kind of like that one.
One's fun.
Yeah. I don't know if my heart's lighter than a feather, though, Peter.
I'm kind of thinking might not be either.
So I'm tangentially familiar with the things that we've talked about, Peter. But now we're gonna kind of get into things I hardly know about, where I might say many wrong things in the next.
I started there.
Yeah. We're going to talk about Buddhism next, Peter. In the Devada Sutta, which stands as the 130th discourse in the Majjhima Nikaya, the Buddha provides a vivid depiction of the concept of hell. Within the framework of Buddhist teachings, remember, I'm not a Buddhist. I do not practice Buddhism. I'm only slightly familiar with it.
Yeah.
Same. Rebirth is conceptualized as having five or six distinct realms. Now, these realms can be further stratified based on the degree of suffering or pleasure inherent in that realm.
Okay.
Now, among these realms, Peter, the hellish ones are called Naraka. They occupy the most tormented and lowest tier of rebirth. And your whole goal is to go up and up and up until you eventually escape being reborn.
Okay.
But within the Nakara realms, the most terrible of them is Avicii, which translates to without waves in Sanskrit and Pali. Now, Peter, this narrative mentions Devadatta, who was Buddha's own disciple. But Peter, I don't know if you know this story, he tried to kill the Buddha 3 times.
Uncalled for.
Yeah. But also tried to instigate a schism within the monastic community that he lived in. And Peter, this was about the worst thing you could do. And yeah. Such grievous acts condemned Devadatta to be reborn in the dreaded Avicii hell. But Peter, Buddhism posits that no realm of rebirth, including the hellish Naraka, is everlasting. While souls may endure suffering for what might seem like immeasurable time spans, they eventually can earn a rebirth in a higher realm. Peter, the Buddha in the Lotus Sutra prophesies that Devadatta, despite his current standing in Avicii, is destined to rise as a Prayetaka Buddha, which is an enlightened one, a solitary enlightened one. Oh, Peter, that's Buddhism. That's my very limited, hopefully marginally correct interpretation of hell in Buddhism.
I always thought that Buddhism was the one with reincarnation, but that must be...
That is this one, Peter. You go... Well, you it's different realities. I think you reincarnate into different levels of suffering.
Okay.
So you suffer the most when you're way at the bottom. And then you keep trying to do better and get better and better.
Okay. I think I understand.
I barely understand this, Peter.
Yeah, maybe.
But Peter, now
we're moving on. But again, I like the idea of it not being
eternal. You can earn your way into a better
after a certain amount of punishment.
But Peter, now we're moving on to Hinduism.
Okay.
There's a widely held belief in certain Hindu traditions that individuals who engage in wrongdoings are destined for hell, where they undergo punishment tailored to the gravity of their sins. Yama, the deity governing death, also oversees this realm of retribution. In Yama's court, every individual's actions are meticulously recorded by Chitragupta, the divine scribe.
Okay.
And when a soul is judged, Chitragupta recounts their entire list of misdeeds. And based on this account, Yama decrees the suitable penalties. Peter, these penalties might be severe, from being immersed in boiling oil
unpleasant.
And consumed by flames, or could be mundane, such as enduring tedious tasks across the different levels.
Still unpleasant,
of hell.
But not as bad.
But Peter, once your soul has completed the designated punishments, you are reincarnated, with the nature of their next life being determined by their remaining karma. After it, degrades from all the sins.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, one of the main things, though, in this belief, Hinduism, is that everybody has some form of misdeeds on their cosmic record.
Yeah.
And you have to pay for it with your karma.
No matter what.
Oh, boy, Peter. How about one more Eastern one, Peter?
Okay.
Taoism. Taoist beliefs introduce another depiction of the underworld with something called Diyu. Now, Diyu is the realm of the dead in the Chinese mythology and Taoism, and is likened to hell and the underworld. Hmm. It's envisioned as a subterranean maze with various chambers and levels, each administering a different form of punishment corresponding to the sins committed during one's lifetime. Peter, the souls in Diyu undergo tortures and trials, but like some others, the suffering in Diyu is purgatorial, After you endure the punishment and having your sins purged by pain, your soul is eventually reincarnated, returning to the cycle of life and death.
Okay.
Oh, boy, that's the Eastern ones, Peter. What do you think of those three?
They definitely have similarities.
Yep.
They're distinct, obviously, but mm-hmm. I would say kind of in the same way that the Abrahamic religions are similar.
Right.
They seem like they have, obviously, from our
this is just eye, my limited summation of this.
View.
Yep.
Three minutes each.
I could read books for the rest of my life and hardly understand these.
Right.
Oh, but Peter, next we move to the Sumerians.
Ooh, okay.
You know who the Sumerians were, Peter?
Are they people who like to take broad, large, complicated subjects and then
summarize
bring them down into digestible pieces of information? Well,
Sumerians were one of the earliest cultures on Earth, Peter, in the Middle East area. Kind of a precursor to the Babylonians.
Okay.
Now, they envisioned afterlife as Kur, a dismal and shadowy cavern situated deep beneath the Earth. And it was considered a gloomy extension of earthly existence, a realm dominated by the goddess Ur-Shkigal. Now, contrary to many other ancient beliefs, Peter, the actions of an individual in life didn't determine your fate in the afterlife. Okay. All souls, regardless of their earthly deeds, dwelled in the same bleak domain.
Excellent.
So you were headed to this like mere underground version of Earth, no matter what you did.
No matter what you did.
Now, within the confines of Kur, souls had to subsist and live on by eating and drinking dry dust.
Wow. Yeah.
But Peter, they had an out to this.
Okay.
The living relatives could perform rituals in which they pour libations into the graves through clay pipes, which would allow the deceased to drink something besides dirt.
Aww.
Yeah.
How sweet.
Yeah.
I would love to drink something besides dirt when I die.
That seems really good, right?
Yeah.
Ah, Peter. Should we move on to some more European hells? I'm going to just kind of pound these all out here.
Okay.
These are all like a paragraph or two of each.
Mm.
We're going to start with hell.
Ah.
Of Norse mythology.
One L.
One L. That's exactly it, Peter. Now, hell, from the Old Norse, and it represents the realm of the dead and is very unique to the Norse mythology. Now, Peter, contrary to many other hells, hell is not a place of punishment, but a realm of just existence for those that didn't perish in battle.
Right.
Because, Peter, if you died in battle in Norse mythology, you went to
Valhalla.
Indeed.
Thank you, Judas Priest.
Governed by the entity Hel, who in Egyptian mythology and not Marvel property is actually Loki's daughter.
Yes.
The location is portrayed as a space of neutrality, neither paradise nor punishment. Peter. Hell's terrain is often described as being cold, gloomy, and distant, illustrating the Norse belief in the duality of the afterlife, where you had to die a warrior. That's where we get to Nastrond. Have you ever heard of a Nastrond before?
No.
Well, within Hell itself, again, the Norse version of Hell, lies a chilling location called Nastrond, which translates to corpse house.
Peter, accurate, I bet.
Unlike the rest of hell, Nastrond is reserved for the most heinous of individuals. It's a vast hall constructed from the intertwined bodies of serpents, whose venom forever and perpetually drips onto the people inside of it.
That sounds unpleasant.
Yeah, those who find themselves in Nastrond are oath breakers, murderers, and guilty of other grave sins.
Yeah, don't do those things.
Yeah. In Nostron, you do suffer eternally, Peter.
Perfect. Well, probably until
Ragnarok. Until
Ragnarok.
Yep. I'm sure we'll talk about Norse beliefs another time, Peter.
I hope so.
Yep.
They're fun.
Peter, we can go to talk about the Slavs now for a while.
Okay.
Navia, from Slavic folklore, is the underworld or realm of the dead. Now, the physical description and characteristics of Navia vary among different Slavic cultures, but there are some common elements that are often always attached to it, such as darkness. It's depicted as a dark and gloomy place, and okay. It's isolated. It's being distant and separated from the world, requiring a journey to cross through, but different journeys from different cultures and beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Much like the river Styx in the Greek mythology, Slavic legends describe how there are rivers or bodies of water that surround it that you must cross to reach Navia, and who often have guardians or ferrymen that might help or hinder your travel. But it's generally imagined as a vast, barren landscape that might contain, depending on your soul, fields, forests, or landmarks that have significance to you.
Okay.
So, Peter, that's not it for the Slavic mythology, though, Peter. For we have Peklo. Peklo directly translates to hell in many Slavic languages.
Okay.
And embodies the darker side of Navia. This is envisioned as the destination for your soul if you succumb to wickedness and malevolence in your previous existence.
Okay.
It's a stark warning. It's a torment and fire. And Peter, it's all about moral narratives here, Peter, about how you're going to get damned if you act poorly in life.
Don't be a bad kid. No.
Next, we move on to the Bretons of Anaron. Peter, originating from the myths of the Bretons in Brittany, France, Anaron stands as a shadowy realm of the dead. Peter, this is often associated with ghosts, spirits of your ancestors, and the spirits of the unavenged.
Ooh.
Yeah. Many Breton festivals integrate ghost elements with their festivals, Peter. And during the festivals, they bridge the gap between hell and the earthly realm, letting ghosts enjoy the festivals.
Come on and hang out.
Yeah, Peter. Next, we go to Celtic mythology.
Okay.
For Ufrin. Ufrin is the Welsh word for hell. And Peter, again, there are more cultures that call themselves Celts than we could possibly talk about in an episode.
It's a very broad term.
It's generally accepted as a place souls travel to after you die. But it's, you get judged when you enter there, Peter.
Okay.
And there are traditional stories, rituals, and ceremonies. Some of them, it's kind of interesting. In some of these Celtic beliefs, Peter, there are two worlds that when you die in our world, you go to that world. And it's just like our world over there. You live a life there. And when you die there, you return to a new life in our world.
Keep going back and forth.
Flipping back and forth between the two religious realms, which I think is super cool of an idea.
It is neat.
Yeah, Peter. And I think we'll finish it off with Tunella of Finnish mythology. It's also called Manala. Peter, this is beyond a vast, treacherous river where all of the souls of the realm are held. Somber, everyone must go there after they die. It's not necessarily a place of punishment, but you just continue to exist there. It's actually kind of reminds me of the Lord of the Rings, where you sail from
sail into the west.
Into the west, yep. Because you continue your existence there, which because it's like a whole nother existence there.
Yeah.
A lot of Finnish tales chronicle people, heroes, taking ships to Tunella in order to retrieve a particular needed item or weapon order to solve whatever problem is going on there.
Yeah.
And it's all about the journey in this belief.
Mm-hmm.
But, Peter, that's it for our hell discussion today. What do you think so far?
I think it's fascinating to hear the similarities between almost all of these have some form of something in common. Cool. A lot of them are practically identical outside of a few minor details.
Peter, indeed. And I wanted to make this episode longer and include another topic or discussion, but we just can't fit it in this episode.
Ooh,
so
okay.
Sometime in the future, and it won't be the next episode because our October is all lined up full of fun stuff for you. But sometime soon, we're going to talk about near-death experiences of people who went to hell when they died for a brief moment. I'm going to include one story here at the end of the episode.
Okay.
The story of Gerald Johnson from 2016. Peter, Gerald Johnson was a Catholic priest from Michigan who experienced a heart attack and died on the table of the hospital before being resuscitated and saved.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, following his heart attack, Johnson described how his spirit left his body and descended to hell, entering via, quote, the very center of the earth,
end quote.
He admits that, quote, the things I saw there are indescribable, end quote. But he attempts to describe them.
But then he describes them, yeah. Yep.
Peter, Johnson described a chilling vision of a man walking on all fours like a dog being burned alive.
Ooh.
Quote,
unpleasant.
His eyes were bulging and worse than that. He was wearing a chain on his neck. He was like a hellhound. There was a demon holding the chain, end quote. And all the while he was watching this, Peter, pop songs were playing in hell. Including Rihanna's Umbrella and Bobby McFerrin's Don't Worry, Be Happy, as this demon was walking his fireman dog.
Sounds like punishment for sure.
So when we do this near-death experience episode, we'll cover a lot more of these fun glimpse of hell stories.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to include that one there because I like the idea of a demon walking a nude dude who's on fire being led on a walk by a demon.
While Don't Umbrella Worry is playing.
And Don't Worry, Be Happy is also playing. So that's just how
it's an ironic twist to heaven.
That's our hell episode here, Peter. From your Christian upbringing, Peter, do you have anything you wanted to add to this?
I would say we about covered it. I think it's hilarious that nearly every like version of hell that you ever hear of in a Christian sense comes from a book written in the 1300s.
Yep.
Just it's so a divine comedy, Peter. Yeah.
It's like a big joke.
That's where it all came from.
But again, we're not hating on anyone's religion. We're supportive of what you believe in.
You got a right to believe in what you want to believe in.
Well, everybody, if you liked us, why don't you give us 5 stars and follow us on whatever you're listening to right now. Tell your friends, tell your family, be annoying at, it's spooky season. Tell all your friends during Halloween how much you're enjoying this spooky podcast. Follow us on our subreddit, which is r/theknownunknowns. We have a Discord link in the episode directly below here.
Yes, we do.
if you like us even a little bit, you can throw a couple dollars our way and get access to our bonus episodes, which we should have set a couple more by the time you listen to this.
Probably.
Yep. So if you liked us, if you want to tell us how wrong we were in this episode,
please
do it. You can email us at contactthenownunknowns@gmail.com. I really want to hear how wrong I was, because I was probably off by a little bit.
Yes, almost certainly.
But just remember, everyone, even if hell isn't real, you must believe in the unknown.
If only to keep you from killing somebody.
Yes, because we need hell to stop us from our worst impulses, Peter.
Yes.
Not, you know, just not being a murderer. I just... That doesn't do it. It's
the only thing that's stopping me.
Oh, boy. Well, that's it, everybody. So next week, we'll see you not in hell, I hope.
Hopefully not.
Alrighty. Goodbye, everybody.
We'll be seeing you.